Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. As you listen, we pray God's blessing be over you and that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Now let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison.
Thank you for being in church today. I want to jump into some of what I want to talk about because I know that today there's an equipping getting ready to take place. I know that. There is not a doubt in any part of my being. Let me just start and set this up by just talking about something very practical. I'm going to speak to men and women, and you can fit the category you go into. But here, because this is not all men that do this or all women. But if you're a shopper, you would never go shopping without your money. You might go, what? Some of you go, well, I window shop. You won't do that very long. Because then you're figuring out how to go shopping with money to buy what you were window shopping for. So you're not going to go shop unless you're dream building and you're heading towards getting that item. So you're not going to go shopping without money. And you're not going to go shopping without a big enough vehicle to carry home what you buy. Some of y'all going, okay, what in the world? All right, well, if you're a hunter, you would never go hunting without something to take home what you're hunting or to achieve the goal of getting whatever you're hunting for. I mean, you're going to take your gun or bow. You just wouldn't go hunting without it. I mean, it's just not, that's not what you call hunting. It is meant to accomplish something. Now, the reason I use hunting and shopping is because it's real easy for my wife and I to understand the difference. She is a shopper and I'm a hunter. And she doesn't do much in the hunting area and I don't do much in the shopping area. So we both have to give a little bit to spend time in those areas. But you know, it wasn't until just recently that she could go into the woods and shop. But modern technology allows you to shop all the time. The problem is hunters can't hunt in the mall. I mean, you just can't. What I want to talk about today is I want to talk about in all of life, and I just use those two quick examples, you're not going to get anything accomplished like you'd like to have accomplished without positioning yourself in the right place. See, just not in life, we've got to position ourselves. Now, positioning today, I want to talk about, and the last part of basically, I've been talking about this for 3 weeks, and Adam did a great job last week. But positioning means knowing when to say yes. And it also is knowledgeable enough to know when to say no. But we say no so that we can say yes. The only reason a Christian says no is because we're saying yes to something else. Yeah. Now, I'll go in and talk a little bit about this. I say no, and I talked a lot about that a couple weeks ago. But I want to thank you today that you said yes to getting out of bed and coming to church. Because it's kind of boring to preach to no one. So I'm grateful you came because I know that the Lord laid something on my heart for all of us to receive this morning, and you had to say yes to get it. Aren't you glad you said yes to being in worship this morning? Wow! I'm so glad I said yes to being. I pray this morning you find yourself a place to position right here in the body of Christ on a weekly basis. And I look around, and you are. Because I believe at church, God does some equipping, and He does that through His Word, and He has a Word for you to get in your heart every week and to live by. Billy Graham, one of the greatest evangelists of my time, some of you, it's getting to the point because he's gone on to be with the Lord. Some of you are like, I've never even heard of Billy Graham. Well, maybe you've heard of him, but I've never watched him. So I understand he's one of the greatest evangelists of my time and those older than me. But here's something he said and quoted. It's in a couple of his books and things he would say a lot. 75% of the people who go to church don't even know the master. Now that's what Billy Graham said. 75% of people who go to church don't know the Master. That's a statistic that is very difficult for me. And my prayer is that we're not operating in that. But I can tell you real clearly that after being in church work for 15 years, and then the 10 to 15 years prior to that, being in church, not just a specific church, but traveling to churches all across the country, I have seen those statistics play out in fruit. See, if you know the Master, there should be some fruit associated with that relationship. And it's more than just coming and sitting in church. It's saying yes to serving in church. Matthew 18, if you have your Bibles and want to turn there this morning, one of my favorite scripture passages. I have a lot of them. But Jesus is talking here in Matthew 18, verse 19. And he says, I tell you this, if two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. Now, I don't want to take that passage just out of context. Let's read verse 20. We'll get a little more of this. For where two or three gather together as my followers, in the NLT, in the New King James, it says, two or three gather together in my name, I'm there. I'm in the midst, or I'm there among them. I'm there. Jesus said, where two or three gather in my name. All right, maybe Billy Graham's right, but in a crowd this size, if just 25% know the Master, there's two or three that have gathered today in his name, the name of Jesus, and he's here. Now, I encourage you, if you don't know him, don't leave here today without coming and finding me. Find one of our prayer team. Find somebody to ask you to come. But don't leave here without knowing him. Don't leave here without knowing him. See, he says, where two or three of my followers are gathered together, I'm there with them. Two or three are gathered in my name. Let me tell you what it doesn't say. It doesn't say two or three are gathered in the name of a denomination. I'm not here to put down denominations today, but it's not a denomination that you need to be gathered in the name of. It doesn't say in the name of a person. It says in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. God shows up where he is desired to be. So in the name of Jesus, we're here today, and I believe there's two or three. I think there's a lot more than that. That's desiring to be in the presence of Jesus today. See, we've put ourselves in positions here at Christian Ministries Church this morning to be effective for the kingdom. And I want to position myself, as I pray you do too, to get what God has and to do what God's doing. Lifespan here in the United States of America is pushing 80 years. Now, during that 80 years of time here on earth, we spend a lot of time pursuing stuff. We really do. We spend a lot of time pursuing. I like the word pursuit because I spend a lot of time pursuing animals. Some of them to hang on my wall and to eat. Some of them for others. But I spend my life in pursuit. Come on, I don't want to get so just spiritual, even though I want to make sure that we are. But there are things in the natural that we pursue. Now, in that pursuit, are we honoring God? Because you're not going to pursue anything that's good that he didn't make. And we've got to get to a place where in our pursuits, we don't lose the ability to say yes to him in the pursuit. I have started using the pursuit of hunting, the idea of hunting, to minister and be a part of other people's lives and to spend time with the Master, just me and Him. If that quits, I need to quit. See, it can't be all about our pursuit in what's bringing to us. See, some spend their whole life pursuing money. I have pursued money, and I don't quit thinking of different ways that I could pursue money. But the pursuit of money is only so that I can be a giver in the kingdom of God more than what I could. See, there's an avenue of pursuit that if we take the Lord out of, then we're doing it for the wrong reason. Some spend their whole life pursuing a mate. And they've tried 7 or 8 wives and they just still can't figure it out. Or whatever. But there's some spend their whole life pursuing victories through their children and living their own purpose through them. Now, I'm going to get to some of this, but some spend their whole life pursuing what's going to get handed to them. Some people spend their whole life pursuing things they shouldn't be pursuing. They're pursuing low self-esteem. They're looking for every reason to blame someone else for where they are in life. Some are wallowing in self-pity, jealousy. Jealousy and self-pity comes in several different ways. Some are just looking for something to be mad at, upset or frustrated about. See, you can look at other people's lives and you can usually pretty quickly identify what they're pursuing. You can watch what's happening from the outside and know their pursuit. I was thinking a little bit about my life this week and things that happened in my life that I consider good for me, good for people that are around me, and things that weren't so good for me. I don't like thinking about those things, but every once in a while I look back and I kind of remember, and God hasn't given me the ability to forget everything that I have done that was a bonehead decision. And so I look back at some of those things that happened, and some of them I didn't do anything, but there was 3 things that God just revealed to me that in my own life, 3 things that life happened based on these 3 things. So wherever you are and whatever you face, there's 3 reasons why you're dealing with what you're dealing with or you're receiving what you're receiving, good or bad. You say, well, what are they? Here's they are. The first one is the Adamic sin nature. Adam messed up. And it was passed down, and we have a sin nature, and we have things that happen bad around us because we live in, as Jolynn would say, a fallen world. Now, got to share that. It's awesome. Because her brother was like, what if someone breaks in our house? And she said, well, what if someone does? You know, I mean, it just could happen. Someone could break in. McKinley sent this wonderful post to my wife about this story. It was so funny. Because he said, maybe someone will, whatever. But Dad said, don't you worry. If they do, I'll meet them. See, Dad's got it covered. And Jolynn said, they might. We don't know. Because we live in a fallen world. Out of the mouth of our children. And we do. She's right. We live in a fallen world. And bad things have happened to good people. Why? Because of the sin nature of man. I don't like it, and we're dealing with it, and come on, we in the Christian side of things ought to be fighting it daily. Jesus won back victory for us. Let's fight through the blood of Jesus. Here's the second thing that life happened based on. Sometimes life happened based on me putting my hand to the plow and getting to work. Get to work, get to work, get to work. I can drive all across this part of the country and I can look at people's yards and I can, by the fruit of looking at their yard, tell you if they have worked hard to get their yard to look like that or if they didn't care much about their yard. And so when you can just look at that when you walk into a house. Does someone put work into their house? Or my wife right now is at a wedding in Ohio. Don't go in my house. It'll be good about 10 minutes before she gets back. See, you're going to find that what you put into something is what you're going to get out of it. And so if you put into that area, things happen based on the work that you do in that area. Here's the third thing, God's supernatural blessing. Didn't deserve that, but his promises were yes and amen, and I put myself in position. I said yes to the right things, and because I did, God's supernatural blessing I have seen unfold in my life. I realize that all of these things, these three things that I just mentioned, are all affected by how I position myself. Are y'all getting what I'm talking about? See, you can avoid sin and its consequences by positioning yourself right. Oh, come on, go to the party. You don't have to drink. Well, I'm 17. I can't drink anyway. Oh, nobody will care there. Go ahead, have one. All I can tell you is if you're going to go against the law of man, if you're going to go against what's happening that would make a blessing for your life, oh, come on, try this. Put this up your nose. Oh, come on. Oh, who cares what your parents says? Sneak out. See, I mean, you just keep going down the list, and you can recognize areas of life that if you position yourself with the wrong people in the wrong environment, and then you're sitting there having to answer to the judge, I was just there. I didn't do anything. You positioned yourself wrong. Positioning is very, very important. You know, you can set things in motion based on your hard work. You can see God supernaturally move when you're in a position to see God supernaturally move. Position. Everything that has happened in my life was a result of the position that I was in. And 98% of the time, it was the position that I put myself in. So I understand there's a few little areas, well, I was there and I shouldn't have been, but I didn't know I shouldn't have been. And see, some of the things that happen in life are answered in the supernatural, and there are some answered in the natural. But we've got to do our part in the natural for God to do his part in the supernatural. I'll give you an example. This past week, Michelle and I were speaking at some churches in Texas. We were a part of a celebration of a church that just got in their new building. And last Sunday, we were at two different churches. We were at David Hilton's church that morning, and they just got in their new building after 16 years. Praise God, it's awesome. And then that evening, we were at Bubba's church. Yes, his name is Bubba, legally Bubba. And so his church is called Branded for Christ. And you can know that that's cowboy when you hear Branded, cowboy. And so we're there. Michelle and I are down in Texas, and we are driving all across Texas. Texas goes on forever. It is a long way from one city to the next. And we were pulling our camper, and we were on some pretty decent roads in Texas. There's some good roads in Texas. Now, Oklahoma, another story. But you have to get through Oklahoma so you can get to Texas to get on some good roads. So we're driving along. We're on some good roads. And I'm talking about smooth sailing. And the speed limit all over the place is 75. So I'm driving along at 75 and none of your business. And we're going down the highway. And as we're going, all of a sudden I hear, pow! And it didn't sound quite like that, but I can't do the sound. I looked out my side mirror, and on the road, I see black junk everywhere. I see smoke, and I see debris, white and black. The white was my fender, and the black was the tire. Yeah, you should have been there. So here I am, immediately pulling over to the side of the road. Everything's bigger in Texas, praise God. And the sides of the road were bigger. And so we pulled over to the side of the road, and I think, well, if you got to have a blowout, this is probably one of the better places to have one. And so I'm getting out, and I'm thinking, okay, this is all good. And we start changing the tire, putting your flashers on, and working out there changing the tire. And I'm thinking, oh, great, this fender, it's going to be kind of hard to fix. Got a couple little holes, but I think I can patch that one and that'll be okay. And I'm kind of assessing the damage and thinking, how in the world? I just put these tires on. Well, then you get on, and praise God for technology. You get on, you find the next closest tire shop. 8 miles down the road, put my spare on, head 8 miles down the road, and they have a tire. And a tire that fits my trailer, three times the amount that it should have been. Wake up. So we put this tire on, paying three times more than what I wanted to pay for a tire. And well, we have actually four of them at that size. If you want to, I said, not at that price. And so we put one on and I head back down the road again. And we're driving along and I think, I'm not going 75 and none of your business anymore. I'm going to run about 60 mile an hour and hopefully we won't blow anything. And sure enough, we got where we were needing to go, no problems. And so I'm thinking about this and I'm going, okay, we're going to be able to limp home on this. Well, we finally left our last destination, our last place we went, and we're on our way home, and I'm going up the road, and that familiar pow sound happened again. So, well, here we go again. Praise God, I'm still in Texas, wide road, pull over, get a good safe place, or safe as you can get on a highway where people are driving by at 90. And so I'm laying there on the ground, and I think, I'm going to preach about this. And here's what I'm going to preach. I'm going to preach how frustrated I am right now. Because everybody gets frustrated at times in life, and I was frustrated. They ought to pay more attention to the roads in Oklahoma. It had to be the roads in Oklahoma that caused this. I mean, bouncing up and down the roads on Oklahoma, I mean, just one pothole after the next destroyed my tires. Then my thought was, no, these tires aren't that old. The guy I bought it from, he sold me junk tires. That's what it was. Sold me junk tires. They should have lasted longer than this. It's just a year or two ago. And then I'm looking underneath and I thought, you know what? Maybe my axles are messed up. Whoever put these tires in, jacked it up from the middle of my axle, my axles are bent. I don't know what's going on. So I get to the tire shop and I tell him all three of those things. And he said, well, you want me to take one of those and kind of get on your page or you want me to tell you the truth? I said, I'm kind of interested in the truth. He said, these tires are between 6 and 7 years old. This is your fault. My fault? 6 or 7 years old? I got socks older than that. That ought to be, I got socks a lot older than, tires ought to last longer than 6 or 7 years. He said, replace them every 4 to 5 years on a trailer. That fifth year, you're really pushing it. Well, where were you when I put these on? That's what I'm thinking. It's your fault now. See how quick I was to blame everybody else for the predicament that I had put myself in. And I had positioned myself wrong, and these tires being 6 to 7 years old, I can be frustrated and mad at everybody else, but what I did, I put myself and my wife in a really bad position. And so then for the next hour, I'm beating myself up. Has anybody ever been here before? Beating yourself up for what you just did because you made a really bad decision. Now, at this place, he had tires in the same price range. I had already called the local tire dealer in this area, found the tires I needed. I had done all of my homework, and he put them on for the same price here, and God bless me. Now, I got 4 new tires, and I've got a date on my calendar, 4 years, they will be gone. I'll never do that again. See, I just realized that everything that I want to blame everybody else on, I have to take the responsibility and say, you positioned yourself wrong. You should have said yes when somebody asked you, you want some new tires. He told me he had more at the other place I was at. It was triple the amount. I get that, but I'd have gladly paid it when I was laying on the ground underneath that thing trying to jack it up. Everything in life is based on your position. Every ticket I have ever received was all based on where I was and what I was doing. Every time I got in trouble was based on where I was and what I was doing. See, things I learned was based on where I was and what I was doing. Money I made or didn't make was based on where, are you getting this? Based on where I was and what I was doing. I was laying on the road changing tires and I was thinking, I didn't say yes to new tires soon enough. At some point, I need to start saying yes at the right time. See, time and place and where you're at and what's going on is positioning. How do you position yourself? We got to answer just a couple of quick questions because this is imperative this morning. So you can't just feel sorry for me. You can get what I'm saying and you can make a change to position yourself into a place where you don't have to live frustrated. The first thing that you got to know if you're going to position yourself is you got to answer this question. What are you in need of? Now, that's a trick question. What are you in need of? Not what are you in want of? Just give the other side. What are you in need of? When our so-called needs are actual wants, then they're not always in line with God. See, when our needs that we think, I need that, but it's actually our want, it's not a need, it's a want, and our wants aren't God's wants, then we're putting ourselves in a position to be laying under a camper. Changing the time. See, many are wanting, let me give another word for want and need kind of combined, desiring. Many are desiring things that God doesn't desire for you. We're wanting something that is not what we are in need of. When our heart is messed up, we're out of correct position. When we're out of correct position, we don't get what is actually needed. And we think, well, God just didn't come through for me. Why didn't you check your position? See, we're blaming everybody else for what we could have positioned ourselves to get. Now, Psalm 37:4 and Matthew 6:21, very important verses. We're wanting our desires fulfilled, but we can't get our desires fulfilled with the wrong heart. We got to get that heart tuned up. Matthew 6:21, Jesus said, "Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be." Psalm 37:4, "Take delight in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart." Let me read both of these again. Matthew 6:21, "Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be." Psalm 37:4, "Take delight in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart." Are you allowing God to give you the desires, or do you only see this verse as he'll give you whatever you want? This gets messed up a lot. I like the first part of Psalm 37:4. It says delight. I looked up this word in the Hebrew because it's pretty big. Pretty big word. And I think this will kind of, I like these little word runs. Delight means to please greatly. To exalt him so highly that we pursue him over and above any other person, thing, thought, or action in our lives. Whoo, that's a big, big definition for a little word. Delight means to exalt him so highly that we pursue him over any other thing, any other person, any other thought, any other action. You know, you're either with somebody, you're thinking something about someone or a thing, or you're doing something. You just kind of find yourself all in one of those areas. And if he's not being pursued at the top of that list in all those areas, then we're not delighting in him. But we're still wanting the desires of our heart. Delight in him, and he'll put the right desires in your heart. Delight in him. And then as you delight in him, you're going to get your heart's desire. Why? Because your heart desires him. He's not playing hide and seek. He's available. He's there for you. So you can't have one without the other. You have to have the delight to get the desire. If you're not delighting in him, God's not giving you the desires. Well, God gives you the desires of your heart, not without the delighting. Delight in him and then he will. Delight in him and then he will. What are you treasuring? Matthew 6:21, we just read it. Wherever your treasure is, there are the desires. What are you treasuring? What's above everything else? What are you looking at is really important? You might examine where your treasure is and then you find your heart right there. That's what Jesus said. What are you treasuring? That's where you'll find your heart. Boy, you treasuring that buck on the wall? Let's talk about something else. What are you treasuring? So we got to always be identifying that. Or are you treasuring the time in the pursuit that God is first? And whether there's a buck or not, I can tell you the time I spent with the Master was wonderful. The time I get to spend with people in the pursuit is just wonderful. And I'm telling you, then every once in a while, that's just a little bit of more icing. But it wasn't the meat of what I was doing. See, some basic physical needs that we all have is shelter and food. Did everybody here sleep under a roof last night? Have you had food in the last 24 hours? Those are being met. Not everybody in the world can say that. See, you might examine where your treasure is and then you find your heart. Well, Pastor, how do I do that? Open up your pocketbook. See where most of your money goes. Just had an appointment with the accountant this week. And I'm kind of amazed at all the new tax things that came into play this year, some really good stuff. And so I was looking at what was happening. And as much work as I put into everything else, trying to be a good steward, trying to do this, that, and the other, all of these areas, I almost made my standard deduction. You mean if I hadn't done any of that, I'd still got that same deduction? Yep. Well, I quit then. No more money to the church. Whoa, wait a minute. No more money to help people out. No more money to mission work. No more money. Why? Because I get my standard deduction anyway, so there's no need. That's way over 10% of my income. Standard deduction is good. I'd be fine right there. Am I giving to get the deduction or am I giving? Am I doing what I'm doing? Am I being obedient to? What am I doing? Okay, well, your treasure, yeah, and I'm going to give more next year than I did this year, not because of meeting the deduction, but because where my treasure is where my heart is. And so I can tell you real quick, wherever I'm putting my money is where my heart is. And when you find where your heart is, you'll find that's where your time is. Ooh, some basic soul and mind needs. Everybody needs peace, joy, needs a sound mind, need to live not depressed, having purpose. How are you doing that? Find out where your treasure is. See, some basic spiritual needs, to know God loves me and has a purpose for me. I have a relationship that's daily growing in Him. I'm being transformed into a giver all the time, not just a receiver. There's got to be a place in our life where we move ourselves into a position where people are drawn to us because they see the Master. There's got to be a place where at some point we as the church have a drawing. There's a drawing that's coming in. If the church is always give me, give me, give me, give me, then the world's not ever going to see us as someone who can give. How do we get to that place? We check out where our treasure is, because where your treasure is where your heart is. And where your heart is where your desires are. And where your desires are will determine whether or not you're going to get the hand of God in your situation. Delight in the Lord. Are you hearing that this morning? Y'all stand with me.
We're so glad you joined us. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit cmchurch.net.